Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chai Chat. It's Tuesday, July 26th. I am Mary Rockenstein, and my company is Leadership Edge Solutions. I'm a John Maxwell certified speaker, trainer, coach, and a general business consultant. And joining me is my co-host, Victoria Victier. Victoria, please say hello and introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, Mary. Good morning, everyone. I am an Enlightened Life coach and business consultant featuring enlightened perspectives for enhancing our personal life and enhancing our business development and growth. So we've got a good show today, I think. We've got a lot of things we're going to talk about, and Mary's going to review and get into a little bit more detail today on a great topic that everyone deals with, right, Mary?
Yes. In fact, 2 weeks ago when we recorded our last show, those of you that listened in, you know that we were talking about managing yourself in time. People talk about time management, but, you know, the reality of it is you can't really manage time. It's on a continuum. You can't start it, stop it. You know, I wish that we could. And we were talking before this broadcast and saying that, and I mentioned to Victoria, if there's someone out there who's never, ever had a challenge in managing themselves in time, I'd love to meet you, because I just think it's something that, you know, we can all relate to. We've all had those challenges. So we know that we can't manage time, but what we can do is manage ourselves in time, and we can manage how we respond in time. And we're going to talk more about that today. We talked last time as well that, you know, believe it or not, the average person wastes more than 2 hours a day due to the way that they choose to manage themselves in time. And we also discussed the impact that stress can have on how we view the time continuum. And Victoria and I both articulated an exercise that we've used with different clients. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, when we're highly stressed, time just seems to fly really quickly, which makes us, I think, even more stressed. But if we can slow down and relax, we seem to have more time. And we're going to talk more about that today. So, in fact, our topic today is how we can feel like we are really expanding our time. And Victoria, how about if you introduce today's topic for our listeners?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I put some pictures up there. Hopefully some of the ones that I choose for the slideshow make you smile out there in listener land, because I chose some that epitomize, you know, most people, you know, once they get into their day, they're two types. You know, one type is sort of the hair on fire, hectic, frenetic, running around, trying to get things done, coffee cup in one hand, you know, computer and mouse in the other hand, and just pushing and always in the next moment. Or there's the sort of zone out, lights on, nobody's home person who's sort of fried out, disengaged, and, you know, can't seem to get the wheels rolling or the cylinders charging, you know, in any direction. And honestly, type one can lead to type two, because there's only so much energy you have to run around, you know, with your hair on fire, and then after a while you turn into a zombie and everything just kind of circuits out. So I believe, honestly, that when we started talking, you know, at the very beginning of doing our shows, 16, 17 shows ago, about workplace disengagement and the high levels of disengagement, a lot of that has to do with this topic. And don't you think, Mary, in some terms, that people really end up disengaged and zombied out because it gets the better of them, this whole time
thing? I do.
And,
you know, I think you made an important point where kind of what you call the hair on fire, hectic, frenetic state leading to kind of the lights on, nobody's home sort of zombie-like state. You know, I think the problem is, once you end up in that frenetic state, if you really aren't tuned in with some principles of how to get yourself out of it, you just automatically jump into, and I see so many people do that. I've done that. You know, and once you get into that zombie-like state, it takes an inordinate amount of strength and help to get yourself out of there. So, again, I think there are probably more people struggling with this, Victoria, than maybe even you and I realize. It's such a relevant topic.
And part of it is the unconscious nature of it. I don't know about you, Mary, but for me, I mean, the idea is sort of, you know, getting a handle on this before it gets a handle on you. So, you know, and one of the topics I wanted to sort of introduce today was this topic of techno-stress. It's sort of a new term, and if people haven't heard this term or aren't familiar with it, just Google it and you'll see there's a plethora of articles out there about techno-stress, and it's, you know, IT-induced stress, and it's real and it's affecting a lot of people, and especially around workplace. It's due to being really bombarded with information flow constantly and to being related to remote work and flex time, tethering workers round the clock to their devices. You know, there were 14 studies that they pulled some data from. I did some research on this, findings from 14 studies from 2007 to 2014, which is when technology has really kind of blasted, you know, into exponential import in our lives. And it found that 73% of employees worried that refraining from constant connectivity and instant information feed response would place them at a work disadvantage. And 46%, almost half of workers of organizational mobile email users, exhibited mid to high addiction-like symptoms and responded to work emails at home, on weekends, and on vacations. So this whole work device thing has sort of begun to blur and erase the boundary between work time and personal time. It's kind of really blown apart the work-life balance concept.
Well, I was just going to say, and if you look at a study of the generations, you know, boomers have had the label for years of being the notorious workaholic. You know, we didn't really know when to turn the light off and say, you know, enough is enough. But certainly then Gen X and followed by the millennials came along and said, you know, we're not going to do what you did. We want to have better work-life balance. But let me just throw this in because, you know, I talk to people quite a bit, and as you do as well. And I will tell you that, you know, this from what you've articulated so far, this techno-stress, it's kind of like we all own it because we refuse to put our, you know, our phones down because we've got this belief that if we don't respond, you know, immediately, then our jobs could be in jeopardy. But let me just tell you that there are companies out there that have articulated that to their associates. You know, yes, you can go on vacation, but you better be online and you better respond to emails. And if I need you, I'm going to call you. And so, you know, the lights never get turned off. There's never any downtime. And so part of it, I agree with you, it's self-induced, but I believe that there are a lot of organizations, too, that have kind of created this very overt or covert, you better stay in contact, you know, even though you're off for the weekend or even though you're off for the week.
Well, and I'll tell you, Mary, I would love to see, I'd like to investigate the best places to work as opposed to the people who aren't, companies that aren't on the top end of that list, and look to see whether that's a mandate in the best places to work, because my guess would be that it is not.
Yeah, I would agree.
That there is some measure of a healthy balance that those companies have managed to have with their employees, because, again, you can only push people so far, and then you end up with a workforce full of zombies.
Right, that's right.
You know. So,
but unfortunately, again, I'm just going to say, I wonder, Victoria, how much of this is driven by the fact that we still have a lot of baby boomers in leadership positions who just go. And again, I think as I'm thinking about this, that could be part of the challenge as well, that there's just too many boomers that don't understand the need.
Yeah, it's hard to know where to point the finger, but it is interesting that while, you know, baby boomers had their own version of lights can't ever be off. Millennials and Gen Xers have their IT version of light. So it's like the literal lights were never off in the baby boomer generation, but now the techno lights are never off in the more current
generation.
Let me
throw out something as we're talking about this. I want to throw out something that I actually worked in an organization where there were people in this company who did this, and I love them for this. If they knew one of their coworkers was going on vacation, you know, how many people just sit down and fire off emails or leave voicemail messages because it allows them the opportunity to scratch it off of their to-do list? They're not thinking about the recipient that they're sending it to.
Right.
They're
right.
simply thinking about, okay, I have to contact Victoria about this, so I'm going to email her. Well, In this one particular company that I'm thinking of, there were actually coworkers who said, you know what, Victoria's on vacation for a week. I'm going to delay. I can go ahead and type the email, but I can do the time delay, so she's not going to get it until about 10 o'clock in the morning, her first day back, or in the afternoon, whatever it is. But, you know, there are little techniques and things that you can use. Or I'm going to make a note to leave her a voicemail message, and some phone systems may have a delay system on that too. But the point of it is, you know, we could be a little more respectful of each other and not just simply scratch off items on our to-do list, but think about that other party. You know, does it really need to go now since they're on vacation, or could we leave that voicemail message or send that email at a later date?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're here asking anyone who's, you know, listening to this show to realize that there's both a send and a receive responsibility here, and I'm going to talk in a second here, you know, about how detrimental this can be to people's, you know, mental, emotional health to constantly have this flow of bombardment, you know, going on that actually affects our experience of time, and we'll get to that in a minute. There's a book entitled What the Internet is Doing to Our Brain by Nicholas Carr. It was published in 2010. And a quote from his book says that the Internet is an interruption system. It seizes our attention only to scramble it. He explains that Internet reduces the deep thinking that leads to creativity. And his book explains how information overload from the World Wide Web overwhelms the brain and hurts long-term memory. There's more and more that I could get into here, but actually there are articles that literally specify that IT overload leads to lower attention span, difficulty reading in a traditional sense. People are no longer able to sort of sit and read a book, a magazine, or report anything of longer length. It trains people to power browse instead of focusing for an extended period of sustained reading. He also found negative effects on work productivity. It creates addictions and escapism. Some of the Wikipedia findings that they gathered are that the Internet may give you an addict's brain, and memory problems may be more likely as it becomes harder for the brain to focus and filter. So, again, we're talking about something that's extremely powerful and very useful when used well, but when overused or when there's no boundaries to its use, people are not able to think, be creative thinkers, and continue to put forth this kind of constant attention to things. And what does this have to do with expanding time? Well, you know, when there's no stillness, when there's no chance for there to be space in your day, in your mind, in your attention span, you are actually under creating stress hormones that make you feel more constricted and make things feel smaller and more sort of pressed. You're actually creating stress hormones by there being no space, no place where there's a gap. Does that make sense, Mary?
Yeah, and I want to jump in, Victoria, because there is a technique that, honestly, I wish I had been better at mastering this earlier on in my career, and because I think it makes so much sense and it's so simple, and really everyone can do it. But it goes back to what you were just talking about and this whole idea of, you know, this addiction and techno stress and what have you. But people who are really effective at managing themselves in time, and by the way, I would not put myself in that category. I'm a learner. I'm a student. Like everybody else, I do some things incredibly well, but other things it's like, wow, what was I thinking? But the one concept is to, so let's talk about the Internet for a minute. Maybe, you know, you've got a computer. Most people do. And you get email. Most people get that. How many people just sit there almost in a trance waiting for the next email to come in, you know, and then they respond and then they wait. And I mean, so much of their day is just wasted by staring at that screen or surfing on the Internet or whatever they may be doing. And maybe surfing on the Internet, I mean, that's been a part of my job in different companies for research purposes and checking out other sites and so forth. But here's the thing. If you learn to group those activities, so for example, maybe once every 2 hours, I'm going to look at email for 10 minutes. Maybe once every 2 hours, I'm going to pull voicemail messages. Maybe once every 2 hours I'm going to do whatever it is, filing. You know, if you think about the activities that you need to do, you know, throughout your day, and certainly listening to voicemail and looking at email are probably two of the top, that doesn't mean that you have to be tethered to the phone and tethered to the email. And I was recently trying to explain this concept to a friend, and she said, you know, oh, I could never do that because if somebody leaves a voicemail message, their expectation is, you know, or sends an email, their expectation is, you know, I'm going to respond right away. I said, really? Is your job, is that your role, to be glued to your computer and glued to your phone 24/7? Or do you have to get project work done? No, I need to do project work too. Well, then when do you get that done? Because if you're tethered, if you're absolutely a zombie, tethered to, right, to your computer or tethered to your phone, there's no time for project work. So I'm anxious to catch up with her and see how this is working for her. But I really would encourage our listeners, if you haven't tried that, it's a big, brave step, because I know what you're thinking. Well, if I don't respond to that email right away, it should never be anybody's expectation. If something is that important, why would you send it in an email? Why wouldn't you pick up the phone? Or why wouldn't you get out of your workspace and go visit that person and relay whatever it is if it's critical information? So just a thought, but I think that's one way of kind of mitigating some of what you're talking about.
Yeah. No, that's a great suggestion. It also, when we make actual contact, it's another good point that you make, when we make actual contact with someone, something, rather than virtual contact, it's grounding. It actually allows us to relax. Because ultimately, you know, this the most, I'll get existential for a moment here, the most painful, frightening thing in human life is to feel disconnected.
Yeah.
And actually, the reliance on IT and devices is actually creating more of a sense of isolation for people. So, again, when you are able to get up and walk, actually that's healthy for you too, because now you're in your body and you're actually moving. I'll get to some suggestions in a minute, and that's one of them. So this whole concept, you know, that's a great thing that you're saying, sort of batching things, you know, I'm not sitting at my computer all the time at all. And a lot of people say, well, I sent you the email, and it's like, well, I'm not glued to my computer. So if it was that important, you needed to reach me in some other way. And the fact is that, you know, everything isn't a big, hairy, have to do it right now kind of thing.
Right.
Again, there is, everybody is running around loaded with cortisol and stress hormone, sucking down caffeine, not getting enough sleep, not eating right, in states of sugar overload, in states of hypoglycemia. I mean, honestly, there's so much going on that is throwing people out of whack, so that they're kind of distorted in terms of their ability to be in the moment or manage themselves at all in time. And so what we're going to get to now are the answers and the remedies. And the issue here is you are actually experiencing time in the way, you're experiencing time in a way that's either making it feel expanded or compressed. You know, imagine what it feels like, you know, to be waiting for the end of your workday so you can go out to your favorite dinner place. It seems to crawl. Imagine what it feels like to be looking at the end of your 7-day vacation in the Caribbean and you're at your last day of vacation. That time flies. So it's not the 24 hours that's the issue. It's how you experience that 24 hours. And we have to be able to slow down and calm down so that first of all, we're able to be in any present moment, because that's the other piece. When people are focused on the future or the past, they are in states of tension and stress because we have no control immediately in this moment over the future and the past. We only can control this given moment, which certainly shapes our future and certainly helps us learn from the past, but we cannot be in any state of affectance in the past or in the future because those places are illusions. They don't exist in this moment. So it's real important, you know, and I know you folks have heard, you know, sort of be here now. It's crucial to be able to be in any present moment more so than you probably typically are. And some of the suggestions I'm going to give here are going to help you do that. So You know, it's really important to understand this concept of if you're, you know, and it's good to do little check-ins with yourself. Okay, where's my head? Is it in this current present moment that I'm focusing on or dealing with, or is my mind sort of floating to should have, would have, could have, or gonna, you know, tomorrow or next week or what if, or any kinds of things that take you out of this present moment. If you're not anchored in this present moment in a good bit of your daily life, you're going to need to sort of yank yourself back to this be here now place where you're actually focused on the thing that you're involved in this moment. Does that make sense, Mary?
It does. And Victoria, when you were talking about this, my light bulb went on. I have a friend, Doug Smith, who wrote a book about happiness, and he said exactly this. He said, you know, you have to make peace with the past. You have to stop living in the past and worrying about it because it shrinks your time, but you have to make peace with it. And as it relates to the future, you have to look forward to it. You know, don't stress and don't have anxiety about it, but look forward to it, welcome it. And so it fits with not only this idea of expanding time, but you'll be a happier person in the process because you will be less stressed. So it absolutely works. It does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I address some of these things. I put the visual of the cover of my book in the slideshow because I've got some chapters in there about these topics. And it sounds like your friend's book also speaks, you know, to this as well. And, you know, really in the past we need to make peace with it, but we need to learn from it because the past is a great teacher. You know, and looking into the future in a way that you have, you know, hopes and dreams and such is a very good thing. But you're not going to get there in any effective way unless you do really good work in this moment and you're focused in this moment and absorbed in your task in this moment. So let me give people some helpful hints out there in listener land and jot these down, and because part of your home play is going to be, or your home play is going to be, choose one or two in the week to come, and then maybe try another one or two in the next week, and then we'll meet up with you in a couple and we'll see how you're doing. But one would be kind of like Mary was talking about, you know, to sort of group things so you're not constantly, you know, mesmerized by looking at a screen waiting for the ding-dong to happen where an email comes through, but to sort and prioritize at the beginning of your day, take a look at, okay, what are the 3 to 5 things that are key for me today? What things do I really need to focus on that are be here now issues, and I want to really focus on them in this day? And everything else I'll push to the side for the moment, because after that many things, you are not effective, and you'll find that you're more effective in those 3 to 5 things. And if you get them done through half your workday, now you have a whole other half your workday to set up 3 to 5 more, which is probably going to happen because you'll be a lot more effective when you're not focused on the 10 things that you can't even keep in your head, all floating around at once like a bunch of swirling leaves. So be able to sort of sit in the top of your day and maybe just jot down, okay, here's where my focus is going to be in my be here now, and I'm going to go through these 1, 2, 3, and then I'm going to move on. The second thing is to speak slower and move slower. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but when you are feeling pressed, it's real important to shift into a lower gear. Just like in your car, if you were feeling out of control in the movement of your car, you would shift into a lower gear. So it's to slow down, to be safe, and to have control of your vehicle. Well, we're the same way as we go through our day. When you're feeling out of control, it's really important to downshift and get into a slower, more calm movement and speech so that you can literally slow your vehicle down and be in less of a stressful space and more of a focused and flowing space and give yourself a chance to breathe. Another one is about self-care. We manage ourselves in time better when we take care of ourselves in time. So it's important to do simple things like hydrate all day, especially now in this part of the world. It's about 100 with the heat index. So it's really important to be drinking lots of water, eating frequent healthy snacks so that you are not going into hypoglycemic sugar, swings in your mood state. And again, these things affect your mood, which affects how you experience yourself and affects how you manage yourself in time. They're all related. Another one is to stay grounded more and be aware and avoid zoning out. So taking a computer break every 20 minutes or so, if you're sitting in a computer, get up and walk away, look away, stretch, breathe, walk around the office once, walk to the water cooler, get a drink of water, get your eyes off the screen. One good thing that I think is great is if you're near a window or you can get to a window very easily, go look outside. Even if you can't walk outside, which would be my first suggestion for a few minutes, at least look outside and peel yourself away from this stare, which puts you in a hypnotic trance, at the computer. And then the fifth one is to use IT in a focused way. So one thing at a time. Multitasking is a misnomer. You cannot multitask. You can only chop up your attention in a million different pieces depending on how many things you think you have to attend to. So the five things would be sort and prioritize and group, as Mary said. That is another good technique. Speak and move more slowly and methodically so you can be in the present moment. Take good care of yourself through the day in terms of simple things like drinking water, eating some healthy protein snacks, and not getting hungry or not getting into a zone state. And the fourth one is staying grounded and aware so that you can take a little computer break, walk away from the IT, look outside, stretch, breathe, actually say hello to somebody and look at somebody and listen to what they say for a few moments here and there through your workday, and use IT as a tool. Don't let the tail wag the dog, but stay dog wagging tail, which is a happier dog and not a frenetic dog. So does any of that seem like a good thing to practice, Mary, between now and next time when we meet?
I think those are great helpful hints. I'm starting them already.
You would be surprised. I know people think some of this is just crazy and stupid, but it's like, hey, it's the basics, and it's really important because if we don't take care of ourselves, we are not going to be able to even be aware of ourselves in time, let alone be able to manage ourselves in time in any effective way at work, at home, anywhere. And we're going to get into a topic in next show which is related to this one very, very, very closely, which is boundaries and having to and having the ability to develop better business boundaries. Right, Mary?
Yes, absolutely. And again, not just business boundaries, but when you think about it, we need boundaries in all aspects of our life, personal, spiritual, financial, and certainly business as well. So it's a pretty relevant and pretty hot topic, I think.
Well, it's a huge, huge topic. And again, these things that we talked about today tie into things we've talked about before. Like, for instance, you know, we talked about self-parenting in some of our earlier shows. Very important to look at that, the ego state shows. And we'll do more shows on the concept. But those shows talked a little bit about the ability to self-parent. We also talked in earlier shows about Eckhart Tolle's enlightened being able to be in your workspace in ways that are at least that you are appreciating that you're there or that you're enjoying your work in any way. So again, being able to be in any given moment in work, you know, has to do with enlightened doing, awakened
right.
doing, as we talked about in the show where we discuss the Eckhart Tolle teachings. So again, you know, we're weaving through these shows wisdom and content and important teachings from other shows. So do listen to our past shows. Share any wisdom that you learn with your friends and colleagues because, you know, spreading the good stuff really helps and helps us take care of ourselves and effectively, you know, help each other. So, Mary, you have a good couple of weeks here until we meet again in our first August show.
Be August 9th, Victoria.
Okay. All right, everybody. And we'll be posting this on our social media. So, you know, take a listen to our shows and share them. We really appreciate you being with us. And we'll see you next time, okay? Bye-bye, Mary. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.